This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me is Chef Patrick Hall, Lakes Region Community College. And the cupcakes are really good.
This is a great day. I'm telling you, I had the Snickers cupcake. Oh my Lord. I'm just telling you, that guys love cake and ham. Okay. So, and bacon, too, but that was amazing.
Like bacon,
Man, that's, yeah.
Cupcake's amazing.
My go-to thing as far as I'm not a big sweets person, but when I'll eat what you said, I had peanut butter and chocolate.
Yum.
Anything is crazy. This had a Snickers, had nuts on it. The cake was nice and moist. The frosting was excellent. It was the perfect blend. I was just like, oh, how hard. I still got on my face.
Had to tell him he had frosting on his face, too.
Yeah. Funny. It's crazy. So it's, I love it. I'm definitely a fan. I can't
wait
to see.
City Cupcakes, get over there.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that show tomorrow.
And
too.
You know when they close?
Yep, no.
They close when they run out of cupcakes.
That's it?
They close when they run out of cupcakes.
I mean, it would make sense. It would make sense. Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
It's almost like
sometimes they close at 1 because really? They've run out of cupcakes.
No kidding.
You'll see in the summertime, there'll be a line down the street.
What are they, if they still have cupcakes at night time, do they still open up at night and stuff too? Or are they
they're done by then. That would have been a good question or kind of a good thing to talk about.
And that makes sense because they're always fresh, and she was saying
they make them fresh every day.
Yeah, and they make what they make, and that's what we get.
What it is, they don't have a whole lot of space in there because I said to her, you need to make more. Would be what we would say, but she can't because of the space.
Yeah, that's
they know what their capacity is.
Yeah. I mean, and if she's doing all right. I mean,
oh my gosh, they're doing very well, and all those weddings and stuff. Good for her.
Yeah, it's like I said. I'm still eating.
And Donna is ready.
She is.
Donna is ready. Donna's Delights down in Delaware. Hey, Donna, how's it going?
Hey, y'all talking about the two favorite things that I am. I'm talking about peanuts and chocolate, because you know that I'm nuttier than a fruitcake, and you know chocolate, Sam. And y'all talking about cake, because you know y'all love me like a fat girl loves cake. So y'all all good. So how y'all doing up there?
We're doing good. It's raining quite a bit out there, and I think it's going to be like this for a few days, too.
It's raining.
We needed it.
You know what? I always tell you, it's only liquid sunshine. That's all it is. Go on out there and get your rain boots on and go ahead and have a good time. Get your raincoat and your rain boot and just enjoy it. It's liquid sunshine. Liquid sunshine.
Can always count on Donna put a nice twist on things,
I know. It's true. Donna, you always change things around.
Unfortunately, I'm going to tell you what happens to me. Because just like sugar, I melt in the rain,
Oh, jeez.
Because sweet things melt in the rain.
Yes,
so how everybody's good? Everybody had a good week?
Yes, everybody's good. We went apple picking this weekend. And,
you did?
We did. We did.
Now, y'all talk about cupcakes. Y'all talk about apples. But ain't nobody sent me nothing down the road yet. What's up?
I know. You know what? I was thinking the other day, and yourself and then Linda.
Linda, Kansas.
I promised her some. So they're coming. They're coming.
Y'all treat me like a one-eyed stepchild with no hair and no teeth. Y'all ain't right.
Jeez.
You're funny.
Everybody's good. Everything is good, and everybody's enjoying life.
Yeah, beautiful fall.
Well,
it's just starting
I am
up here.
Glad to hear that.
How about you? How about you and Teddy?
Oh, me and Teddy. If y'all was a therapist, then y'all would have the time. But y'all don't have the time of what's going on over here at 28. So we're just going to go here and get into the recipe of the week. He's still my boo thistle, He's still my man, and he's still the Mac Daddy of this house. But other than that, if I told y'all a real story of what's going on, y'all be like, woo, Donna, you need a drink. Lucky thing, Donna, don't drink. Because if I drink, woo, it would be a problem up in here. But anyway, everything other than that, it's all good in the neighborhood.
Good. I'm glad.
You're glad to hear it? Because there ain't no need complaining because ain't nobody listening but God. So I can't complain to y'all. So anyway, let me go ahead and get into the story. All right.
Go ahead.
Y'all ready?
We're ready for you.
You sure you're ready? Because it's time to get ready now. All right. Everybody out there, because I'm loud. So here we go. Evolution. This is the recipe of the week. We're talking about evolution. The definition of evolution is this: the gradual develop of something from simple to more complex. Well, you can say that about my macaroni and cheese recipe. You can say that because, yes, I started making macaroni and cheese like everybody else in America, born in the age of television with no money. Straight out the box, powder packed with milk and butter. No bells, no whistles. I wasn't aware that there was something else to come in time. Because, you know, you use the powder pack, and every college kid knows about the Kraft macaroni and cheese. They do, because it's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So, the teen years, I got my taste of Velveeta, and that changed the game. I went from powder to the block. Sounds like cocaine to crack. But everybody knows, in the words of the late Miss Whitney Houston, that crack is whack. Don't nobody want to see. It's three types of cracks that nobody wants to see. They don't want to see the crack in the road. They don't want to see that type of crack you smoke. And they don't want to see the crack in your, well, shut your mouth. I can't say that on the air. You know, I'm going to keep it professional. I'm going to keep it classy. I went from the powder to the block. Now, my macaroni and cheese went that way. Now, I have, y'all, went from three different types of supermarkets looking for Velveeta, sniffing it down like a one-eyed dog. I was like, where's it at? Where's it at? You ever see somebody who's on their stuff? That's how they do. Where's it at? Where's it at? So that's how I was about Velveeta. My husband said that when we first fell in love, my boo right here, he's sitting right next to me. I love you, baby. He said that when we first started dating on this love journey, that it was going to get greater later. And I went from baby doll to fine mama. That's right. And it has gotten greater later. We have evolved. See, we have started out from, and also I have evolved. See, I started out very simple in life. I used to live in a house that had no running water, and now I live, and we had to draw water from a well. Now, going from there, and I had to do my business in an outhouse, because don't nobody believe that. Somebody born in 1972 know about an outhouse. But this chick know about an outhouse, living down in the hill. So I went from no bathroom to having not one, not two, but three, four bathrooms. Yes, evolution. As I get older, I am evolving. I'm evolving into a person that people adore. Don't you adore me?
Say it. Absolutely.
You adore me? Okay. Now, the recipe of the week, here it goes. Since my macaroni and cheese recipe evolved from the powder to the block, I put the mac in macaroni and cheese. Here we go, the mac and macaroni and cheese. This is what you'll need to get that macaroni and cheese that I got popping, because everybody asks for my macaroni and cheese. If it's a church event, they always calling down on the phone wants some macaroni and cheese. So it's the banging. So here we go. You'll need macaroni noodles. You'll need two boxes of macaroni noodles. You'll need one block of Velveeta cheese. I use 32-ounce cubes. I cut it up. You'll need one stick of butter. You'll need two eggs. You'll need one quart of half and half. You'll need two tablespoons of dried mustard. You'll need a quarter cup of sea salt. You'll need one tablespoon of white pepper. You'll need two cups of mild cheddar cheese. You'll need three cups of extra sharp cheddar cheese. You'll need 1 8-ounce packet of cream cheese. You'll need one cup of those golden fish crackers. You'll crunch them up on top. Now, this is what you're going to do, because I know y'all talk about why would you use a quarter cup of salt? That's a lot of salt. But it ain't for, it's the salt, the water, not the macaroni and cheese recipe. So you're going to take that quarter cup of sea salt, and you're going to place it in a boiling pot, in a pot of water, and you're going to boil that, and you're going to cook those noodles for about 10 to 15 minutes. You want them al dente. Y'all know about al dente because all of y'all back over there did culinary art school. But everybody who knows me knows it's half done. So and all of y'all who know about al dente, you know al dente means a little hard. So you're going to drain that, and then you're going to rinse the noodles in cold water. Now, this is absolutely very important part of the process because you want to stop the cooking process because nobody wants no gummy macaroni and cheese. That's like eating, I don't even want to talk about it. No, you don't want that. So you're going to place that in a large bowl, and then you're going to sprinkle the mustard and the dried mustard and the pepper over your noodles. You're going to beat in your eggs, and you're going to pour that over your noodles. Now you're going to, in a large pan, what you're going to do also is you're going to mix two cups of the cheddar cheese and 2 cups of the mild cheese along with those noodles. Those noodles are going to be dry, so you're going to mix that in. So now this is what I do. In a large pan, I melt my butter, and I pour my half and half in. And after I do that, I heat that for about 3 minutes. Then I place my Velveeta and my cream cheese, and I stir, 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 stir. Don't burn the cheese. Watch your cheese because you don't want no burnt up. It tastes funny, and nobody wants no burnt macaroni and cheese. Then you're going to pour that over your macaroni noodles, and you're going to stir, 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 stir. And then you're going to preheat it your oven to 375 degrees, and you're going to bake for 45 minutes. And after that, you're going to take that macaroni and cheese out, and then you're going to sprinkle one cup of cheese that you reserved and those dumb fish crackers all over your macaroni and cheese, and then you're going to place it in a boiler, and you're going to get it brown and gooey, and then it's going to evolve into your mouth, because that's the way Donna does it. King!
That sounds really delicious.
Now, you know what? I'm going to send it to you.
Oh, I would love for you to. Now, I love the goldfish, too. That's different.
You know why? Because it got the cheesy taste to it, and then it got the crunch to it, and then you sprinkle it and mix it with the cheese, so it's going to give it a good crust, because everybody needs a good crust over them. Because, speaking of crust, I had to scrub Teddy's feet just 2 weeks ago, and it was so good and crusty. But guess what? I made sure that they was baby smooth. So you want smooth, and this is how you want your macaroni and cheese. You want it baby smooth in the inside, and then you want the crusty feet on the top, just like Teddy's feet. But all in all, that's all right. I'm going to work on my receipt. Don't you worry about it. I still love you. I love your crusty feet and all. And like I said, everything evolves.
Poor Teddy.
What's wrong with Teddy? What y'all saying? You got dancing feet. Get on out of here. Nobody wants to talk to you right now. Be quiet.
Oh.
He ain't running his mouth today. But guess what? I won't make it. He always wants me to make him some macaroni and cheese and some
good chocolate.
So it goes hand in hand. My macaroni and cheese and my
good truck
goes hand in hand. So, just like it goes along with his crusty feet, so does my macaroni and cheese. So I go with his crusty feet, and macaroni and cheese and fried chicken go along together. So I guess we're a match made in heaven, and Donna has evolved. And I keep on evolving, y'all, because life is for living, and food is for giving. And y'all know Donna got to get up on out of here, because she got some macaroni and cheese and some evolving to do. Peace!
Oh my god.
Wow,
that evolved quickly. That just happened. I mean, that was just, one rolls one right into another,
right?
Macaroni and cheese and feet. I mean, what a combination,
I'm like almost speechless.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say.
It's like, you never know what you're going to get. I'm hearing half of this stuff for the first time myself, so.
I do like the idea of the fishies, though, and mac and cheese.
That's a good idea. That or Cheez-Its or something probably would work good, too. But one thing I didn't get about it was the egg. She mixed the eggs with the pasta.
Eggs?
Yeah, she said eggs. She said blend them up and then mix them with the pasta. I've never heard of that for macaroni and cheese before. So I don't know what does that do. I mean, I don't know if it binds it or holds it together. Almost makes me think that it would be like almost like a.
Are you sure she said egg?
Yeah,
really?
She said egg. Yeah.
Oh, geez. Well, we'll have to ask her next week, maybe.
Yeah.
Because now
yeah.
I'm curious.
I was gonna ask her that, and then she got off onto the feet things. Start talking about goldfish and feet.
Oh,
as long as
Donna.
She's not taking the scrapings from the feet and putting them on the macaroni and cheese,
exactly.
I think we're fine.
There
you go. So.
Oh boy, I think on that note we need to take a break. You're listening to the Pulse 107.7 Food for Thought. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 1077 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol, and joining me is Chef Patrick Hall. And what are we going to chat about?
I don't know. You know, hey, we got this, you know, we got this dinner that I'm doing.
Let's talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
I think that is, I think it sounds delicious.
Yeah, you know,
tantalizing tapas.
Yeah, so that's where we came up with this. And like I said, at the Chef to School event in Concord High School, their CRTC, their Concord Regional Technical Center, they put these on every once in a while. But for $10, we're going to do 5 courses. You know, finish it off with sticky toffee pudding with caramelized apples.
You can't go wrong for the price.
No. And they just do it because, you know, I go in there and I do it with the students. So I go there for the whole day and I cook with the students. So we'll prepare this during the day and serve it for dinner at 6 o'clock. So, you know, like I said, you go right in there. They have a beautiful little dining room. You sit there and the students will wait on you and bring you, you know, do beverage service and everything else. So it's a great, you know, great experience for the students to to get into this. But at the same time, they get to experience working with another chef, doing some different stuff. So I'm going to do these up like really high end you know, do it up like it was as if it was in a 5-star restaurant, you know. So it's great. So it'll be October 15th, 6 o'clock, $10 per ticket. Bring your buddies, you know, like I said, get a couple tables. We're hoping to make it a great event. And like I said, we'll do everything from our caramelized onion and pear crostinis to puff pastry chicken. Oh, I love doing
puff pastry chicken stuffed with boars and cheese and spinach with a roasted red pepper coulis.
Yes.
That. Yes. Sounds ridiculous.
A little chicken. So you wrap those up, I'll do this a lot of times with the pastry chicken. You just get your regular puff pastry. You can go right to the store and buy like the Pepperidge
Farm. Sheets of it, right?
Yeah, it comes in sheets, right. Or squares or whatever have you. And you just cut little squares out of them. But this is like a great for like a little appetizer if you did this. Generally, I would do this. I've done this before.
I like this idea. Let's keep talking about it.
So you could take this this chicken.
So like just a piece of chicken.
Just a piece of chicken, yeah.
Okay.
And say you pound it out, so
make
it's thin.
Make it a little flatter.
It a little flatter. And what I've done in the past is I would take it and I would stuff it with the spinach the cheese and, stuff it with the spinach, the cheese, and you're kind of like, I'll make the boars on cheese, but I'll add to it. I put my boars on cheese. I take cream cheese, lemon juice, garlic, a bunch of chopped herbs, basil, thyme, chives, a little bit of lemon juice, salt and pepper. Whip it up, okay, and then you mix it up there. And then I'll put the Parmesan cheese inside there too, and also put some, like, cheddar cheese in there. So it makes it kind of thick. And if you could even put, like, a little binder in it too, just so it kind of stays together a little bit. Stuff that chicken, you know, kind of saute up your spinach
now,
a little
bit.
Now,
how big of a piece of chicken are you talking?
About 4-ounce breasts. You know, okay. Once you pound a 4-ounce breast out, it's going to be this big. But then you wrap it up, and you create, like, a little football out of it, you know.
Okay.
And what we'll do is we'll take that, and you take the puff pastry, take a big square of it.
And wrap the puff pastry around it.
Yep. So put the open side of the puff pastry down first.
Yeah.
And then what you wrap it around, and then you brush it with a little bit of egg wash and stuff, and you flip it back over, and then you bake it off until it gets nice and baked. You take a temperature, and then you got that crispiness of the puff pastry, and you cut into it, and you got the cheese, the Boursin cheese, and the tomato and the spinach.
That sounds ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. And then you serve it with, you know, take peppers. Take the roasted red peppers, and then, you know, roast them off, and take the peels off of them, and so on and so forth, and then you puree them up. And add a little cream to it. Take it like a little pureed sauce. Add a little cream to it. And then what I do, excuse me. Then what I do is I'll kind of simmer it down and I'll add the cream and then I'll finish it off a little bit more Parmesan cheese and then you put that on the bottom and phew, oh, it's like
that
you read about.
Ridiculous.
Yes. So it's one of those things. I used to serve that at the restaurant and then we'll, you know, serve them with like a little bit of garlic mashed potatoes or truffle mashed potatoes.
Okay, truffle mashed potatoes.
Truffle mashed potatoes.
Let's talk about truffle.
All right, truffle.
I want to talk about truffle.
Truffle. All right. So, truffles are mushrooms.
Right.
You know that. So
I do know that.
But they're very flavorful. When you make truffle mashed potatoes, what you do is I'll use like a red bliss potato or a waxy potato, like a Yukon.
Okay.
Boil them off. Add cream. Lots of butter, salt, and pepper to them,
yep.
Okay? Whip them up. And then what you do is you just kind of finish them off with a little bit of truffle oil. Okay, and that truffle oil, you can find it right in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Once you whip them up, you know, a little salt, pepper, a little granulated garlic, and you whip that up, and then you add, finish it off with truffle oil. It gives that nice flavor to it, and it's amazing.
Now, is it kind of like is it a sweet flavor truffle?
No, it's a savory. It's definitely a savory flavor, but it's more of the aroma to it. So when you add truffle oil to mashed potatoes or something like that, you're just getting that aroma from the mushrooms, you know.
Okay.
If you tasted a truffle, you know, before, you can get that. It's got that earthy flavor to it.
Okay.
They're hard to find.
Yeah, I don't think you can find them like
the truffle industry is ridiculous. It's like the mafia has gotten into.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's whole shows on them because they're so hard to find. You find them. Generally, truffles you find at the root of trees, and I forget what kind of tree. I think it was oak tree or something like that. I forget whatever it is. And you can find them. They forage them for in the woods, okay? And then they'll use pigs are the best way to find them, okay? Because pigs, you know, has a keen sense of smell. So they use these pigs to go find these truffles. But the problem with the pigs, as soon as they start finding them,
they eat them.
I mean, I'm talking, we used to use them inside the restaurant industry. Like one of the high-end restaurants that I worked in Providence was at the Westin. It was called Agora. And we used to have them in the walk-in. I mean, you're talking about truffles, white or black truffles, at $1,500 bucks a pound.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. I'll buy one and get one in here. I mean, literally, you can get one truffle for $75. And you just take it and you shave it. And it goes over your food.
I didn't think it was that expensive.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, $75 bucks for like one little truffle, and if you shave it, generally use it as like a garnish, or you'll infuse it with some oils and add the flavor, and people go crazy over them. You know, it's one of those things. You know, it's like okay, you know, people go crazy over certain wines or something like that. Some people are crazy over caviar.
I was just gonna say caviar. No.
See, it's certain things.
I'm not a caviar. I don't. No. I've tried it. And...
See, I can't. I don't like. I can't even eat a tomato because of the little seeds inside there. Like a raw tomato, I can eat the. If you take the seeds out, I'm fine with it. But like you know, like my mother used to go out right in the garden, take a salt shaker, and just pick a fresh tomato out of the garden and bite into it. And I couldn't do that. It's just like it feels like that mouthfeel to me. You know, from the seeds. Those are. That's just. You know, it's just one of those things. But fish, you know, like the the caviar, which is essentially fish eggs,
right.
is to me like that too. And we used to serve a lot of caviar too, almost Cetra Cervuga caviar, and you're talking about $275 bucks an ounce.
So, like at these restaurants,
yeah.
I mean, they must have it under lock and key.
No, right in the walk-in.
Oh my God.
Could go grab it at any time we wanted to. But, I mean, you would think so. They do lock it at night, you know, because if it's a big hotel, because anybody could go in there and take some of those ingredients. So they did lock it at night. But we used to serve the caviar in like this it was like this gold-plated – like ramekin, but it had like a gel inside of it, so you'd put it in the freezer, it would stay cold. Like you'd literally serve it, it would come back, we'd give it to the dish with an ivory spoon inside of it, we would wash it inside the dishwasher, and the dishwasher goes up to about 180 degrees. That thing would come out and it would still be cold.
Jeez.
It is weird. Yeah, it had some sort of chemical inside of it too. But we would make buckwheat pancakes, cut them in little triangles, and then you'd take all the accoutrements to the caviar. So you'd have a big plate like this, and you'd have the egg yolks that were perfectly cooked. You'd put them in a little triangle, another triangle of buckwheat pancake. You'd have the whites that were right there, and then you'd have like the red onion. You do up some chopped up, chives and stuff like that, all sorts of stuff. But so we serve it, and we serve it with a little side of frozen Stolyanovich vodka.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was pretty neat. So yeah, it was a great experience. You know, I was very fortunate at a young age to be able to work that. You know, and how I got into to working in a place like that was just by knowing people. You know, just like a lot of this industry is just who you know.
It's true.
You know.
It's true.
Getting in certain places and stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, we had ostrich, antelope. We had
antelope,
yeah. We had we worked with this fish, this big bug-eyed fish. It was called Tatog. Yeah. Monkfish all the time.
I've had monkfish. That's very good.
Monkfish is just like a lot of people refer it to like lobster. You know, people think
it's like the texture,
the
right?
Texture,
yeah. So, I've heard that too.
Yep. So we did monkfish. We did all sorts of stuff. We would take morel mushrooms. You ever had morel mushrooms?
No.
Yep. We take they're like little trees, like hollow trees, the mushrooms. And what we would do is we would take frogwat mousse. You know what frogwat is?
That is like my favorite thing in the whole entire world.
Absolutely. So we would take it and we would season it with some cracked salt, some nice thick salt. Sear it and then get that flavor of it, and then we would make mousse out of it, and we'd stuff them in the morel mushroom.
In the mushrooms.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then the way we would do our potatoes there, like mashed potatoes, and this is how we did the truffled mashed potatoes, is we would boil the potatoes. Normally, like right now, what I'll do, it's a classical French way. You add the cream and the butter to them, heat the cream up separately, bring it to a simmer, add butter to them, pour them into the mashed potatoes, and mix them. You know, first get them nice and mashed, or after you rice them, and then mix them. And then you take it and you pass it through a chinois. Chinois is a fine china cap.
Yeah.
Pass it through that. There was no lumps in them whatsoever. So we used to have this old Portuguese guy that would work for us, and he was great. I loved him. His name was Jojo, and he would do all the little prep work for us because it was time consuming. So, but he would complain, it's so hot, I get it in my eyes. So we got him a little thing of goggles.
That's cool.
He was the greatest guy. So we would make batches of this so that we could heat it up. But it was just so fantastic. I mean, you have that truffle oil and the fine mashed potatoes. And so we would take that mashed potatoes, put them in the middle of a plate, okay? Just a nice, smooth, silky smooth truffle mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. Take those morel mushrooms stuffed with the frogwat mousse, make like little happy trees around there, and then we would take a port wine reduction. Have you ever reduced port wine before?
No.
Okay. If you take a port wine reduction, you take port wine, and I put it in like a stainless steel pot,
okay?
And you reduce it down. If you reduce it down enough, it'll be like syrup. You could literally pour it over ice cream and eat it. It's so sweet. So, yeah. Oh, I'll bring some in for you.
Yum.
So we would take that.
Drizzle that over it.
No, just around the side.
It'd be
red around the outside, and then you'd have those mashed potatoes in the middle, and then all the little happy trees with some herbs inside of it. It was like a little Bob Ross picture.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Those are the types of stuff that we'd serve. And we were talking about.
Fancy schmancy.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about, you know, like $45 a plate. That was just an appetizer. All sorts of, you know, like filet, and we always had venison. We would do all sorts of different sauces, and people would come in there. I mean, I cooked for Muhammad Ali there. He came in. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Now, where was this?
The Westin Hotel in Providence, Rhode Island.
Providence. Okay.
It was a place called Agora. Our chef consultant was Chef Frank from Leyes Balye in Boston. So we would go back and forth to work there. So it was crazy. I mean, we're talking about this is 20 years ago. I mean, doing farm to table back then. We would have this guy that would come in and bring us fresh greens, freshly clipped greens right from the farm. His name was Jeffrey. Come in with a bag and be like, hey, man. He was just like the hippie farmer. So you'd get – and it was so beautiful. They had all these like little flowers in them. We would bake our own bread. I baked bread there for a little while, make our own bread, get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, everything was made from – we made our own mayonnaise. I mean, everything. I mean, so this is some of the stuff. I mean, we do fillets. We do like a lobster and roasted corn crusted filet with all sorts of different sauces, and it was a really good experience, you know. For I was very fortunate to work at it, because you don't see that a lot more.
No,
nowadays,
you really don't.
For restaurants wise, you know. So
now the curriculum at Lakes Region Community College at Shaker, like, do you do any kinds of courses in that kind of stuff, like high end?
Yeah, pretty much for our courses. Like that we teach on a normal basis. You know, like I said, I always try to have them upscale it, no matter what. Every plate presentation is upscaled, has some sort of presentation to it, different garnishes. You know, we might do like golf rep potatoes, which is like these, you know, potato chips. But you know what mandolin is, like if you slice them.
I hate mandolin.
Call it the knuckle scraper.
Me out.
But we would do that. If you do it crisscross, it comes up like rigid, like ruffle.
Okay.
Potatoes. Yep. So you'd use that, and you'd pipe out the mashed potatoes, put those in there, put some herbs up through it, and it's, you know, all presentation-wise comes out very well. So we try to shoot for them to plate like that all the time. You know, you can always, you know, downscale, but, you know, you teach them how to upscale first, and then, you know, it might not be, because a lot of places don't do that. And, you know, like a lot of, you know, places too, like I said, you know, you get out in the industry, I mean, that's half the battle. I mean, you eat with your eyes. So,
that's true.
So yeah, you serve a plate like that looks like it's $1 million. You can get, you know, good money for it, you know, stuff like that. So and then just the different components to the plates as well. So we always teach that as far as, you know, like whether we're doing, you know, classical French cuisine or we're doing Italian cuisine, you know. So we get them into it, and they also try to build respect as far as that too. So. So yeah, that's what we'll do, the high ends. And then so this, you know, this appetizer, the tapas thing that I'm doing, we're going to play it up like that. And I like to work with the high school kids because I like to get them excited. You know, I'm very passionate. I want to go in there and show them that. And, you know, so I'm excited for that, you know, so it's a great opportunity for the students to learn.
And they can get tickets. They can email, right?
Yep.
Is that the only way to get tickets? I think it is,
you can,
right?
Yeah, either that or call, or you can stop in there.
Okay.
So for tickets, yeah, you can email.
Well, you know what I'm going to do, listeners? I will. I'm going to take a picture of this this flyer, and I will have it posted on Food for Thought NH Facebook page.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
We'll do that. But for listeners that are listening that may have a pen, you can call 717-7654 to get tickets for this. It's October 15th on Thursday, on a Thursday in a couple of weeks. And tickets are only $10.
I mean, that is for a five course. Yeah. Like, you know, and it's like I said, you get to see the students and start, you know, like I said, start them young. Like a lot of people, you know, the CTE centers are great avenues for students to find out what they want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And it's so important nowadays. You know, people go to school, and you know, I've spent, you know, so many years working in industry with people. I'm like, you know, like I grew up in Western Mass. A lot of people went to UMass, you know, so I'm working on the line. I just assume that people, you know, went to cooking school like I did because they're working in a restaurant. And I said, oh, did you go to college? Oh, yeah, I graduated. I got my, you know, my master's. Oh, you got your master's degree? I'm like, wow, geez. He said, where did you get it? Oh, in history. I'm like, a lot good you're doing there. I said, you're cooking along with me. So, but people, you know, I get so crazy about some people's mystique about or their thought about how the restaurant industry is. They think it's like a low-level job or something. I had a student who was talking to me the other day. He was working at an establishment all this summer, and he's like, oh, chef, he goes, not a lot of people, we're short on help. And he says, and a lot of people didn't want to do these shifts. He goes, I didn't care. I took it all up. I go, oh, so you would make a lot of tips. He goes, chef, he goes, I almost made $2,000 this week. $2,000 waiting tables.
Isn't that crazy?
And people, and it's funny how people balk it, and they sit here and they're like, well, I waited tables while I went through school to have my office job, but and then they go back to it because they're making more money waiting tables than
it's
they do
so true.
at an office job.
Yeah.
It drives me so nuts how people, you know, have their perception about the restaurant industry, you know, and it's like so I try to get the students passionate about it and say, hey, no, listen, this is a great industry.
Exactly.
You know, be a chef, you know, and take it seriously. You know, don't have that mentality. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be a fry cook at McDonald's. No, that's not what the industry is about. That's just like one little section of it. But there's so many facets of this. And these CTE centers are some of the great. I mean, Manchester has a beautiful CTE center.
Yeah,
great chefs and all sorts of stuff. And like I'm telling you, it's a great opportunity for these kids to find out what they want to do. They got building trades, they got automotive, they got culinary, and it's really important, you know. So I try to get them while they're young, you know, get them, you know, 9th grade, 10th grade, and say, hey,
right, get them thinking about it, and you know, and
like how many people have you known that, you know, they still don't know what they want to do in life, you know? So it's, you know, it's important. So I've been very fortunate to always want to do this. My grandfather was a chef, and I started cooking when I was 13 years old,
and I'll
sign up for it 1,000 times over again.
Now, how about your kids? Do your girls show any interest in it?
Yes, my youngest one, she likes it, but still, it's not their number one forte. My oldest one's into theater, so she's gonna be a famous actress. She says so.
Oh my gosh, sounds just like my son.
So she's trying to choose. I want to go to Juilliard, and she's into music and all this other stuff. And I said, oh yeah, okay. Well, after you get done with your associate's degree at community college, then you can pick out wherever you want to go, you know. So I said, by that time they get going to college, it's gonna be $70,000 a year.
Crazy.
It's ridiculous, you know. So
I think we need to take a break.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I can go on forever, so.
You're so funny. I'm just sitting here and I'm watching them. And
I'm very, I talk with my hands and I sway back and forth. People, my students tell me that all the time, you know, because I'll sit there and I'll prep.
Well, you're passionate about what you do, and that's wonderful.
Yeah. It's good, you know. It is. I want to share that with everybody,
that's
you know.
Right.
So.
It's important.
Absolutely.
It's important. So. You're listening to Food for Thought, 107.7, live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. We're going to go on a short break. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7, The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol. Joining me is Chef Patrick Hall, Lakes Region Community College. And, you know, I just want to put a little shout out to my nephew. My nephew, Elliot, who is just an amazing musician. He plays the piano, and he plays by ear.
Wow.
Yes, he plays by ear. And he has a band.
Oh, no kidding.
I noticed his business card on the grand piano right here outside of our studio. And, yes, it's called the Elm Street Band. And I will tell you, they play absolutely amazing. That's, they're just they're incredible. It's him and his friends, and you know, it probably sounds like, you know, a bunch of kids just, you know, doing a little bit of music, but I'm telling you, it is so not. If you heard them, like if you looked at them with your eyes shut, listened to them with your eyes shut, and then you opened them, you just be, it's just, they're absolutely amazing.
I took one of the cards because, yeah, you know what, we're looking to have a summer party. You know, and you know, if you hire bands, they're so expensive.
Yes.
And things like that. You know, sometimes some of them get really up there. So
they certainly do.
April threw me a surprise 40th, and
nice.
We had a student that was an old non-traditional student. He was a bassist. You know, and he was a musician. So he threw together like a trio, and they played out on our back deck and
That's
hooked it
so
all up.
Cool.
So we had a big tarp outside, and I was shocked. Like I come home, I went out. I was fishing or something like that. My dad took me fishing, so to get me
to get you out of the house.
Finally, I come back. My whole garage is filled with people, and they're like, "Surprised she did it in the summertime." My birthday's in December. She did it in the summertime because she knew I would to trick me. But it was such a great time to have like the band out there, and they were playing, and they're excellent. But you know, I actually headed up the band, so I had to get up there and start singing. You know,
oh
so.
My gosh, I can just see you.
Hey, Homer, I sounded great. I'm telling you, at least in my own head,
you
I sounded.
You think you did?
After
right.
a few Manhattans, I sounded excellent. You know,
That's right, like Manhattan.
Sometimes,
so
you know,
funny.
But yeah, no, yeah. We brew our own beer like in my neighborhood, so we had a whole keg of our own beer going on there, and it was pretty cool. And they had the band, and I did get up there
Fun.
And sing, but you know, so we went on tour for a while, for a year, you know, the Patrick Hall Band, you know. So I'm telling you,
in
I
your
love
dreams.
I'm the worst singer in the world.
Ah, that's so funny. You reminded me of my mother because my mother thinks she's a great singer. It's so funny. Oh, and it's horrible.
But it's something about just getting up there and having a great time. But yeah, no, it's cool. So we want to try to repeat that. So I'm gonna probably give him a call.
Yeah, they're excellent. He's very very good. As a matter of fact, do you see that? It's kind of like a. You can't really see it too, unless you know it's there. There's like a balcony right there.
Yes, yep.
My brother is putting in a organ.
Oh, really?
Up there.
Wow.
It is an old organ that he got at an old church that they're tearing down, I guess.
Yeah.
And they are putting an organ up there.
Okay.
Apparently, I'm pretty sure he said it has 30 pipes.
Really?
So, yes.
Is it going to work? I mean,
is
it just for...
Oh, yeah. My nephew's going to play the organ because he also plays the organ.
Oh, really?
Yes, he belongs to, we belong to St. Marie's church,
good.
The big, big church behind CMC, and they have a huge organ in there.
Okay.
I mean, it's crazy.
Well, I mean, how old is your nephew?
He's 16.
And printing off cards like this.
Do you believe that?
This
I know.
Is, that's
right?
amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
it
that is.
Is
amazing. I mean, these
he
are beautiful
his own
cards.
He to St. Marie's to go in and play the organ whenever he wants.
Wow, he's got to be talented then, huh?
He is extremely talented. Yes.
I paid big money to have my daughters go through piano lessons.
Yeah.
He can make a fortune teaching yeah. people that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Although he plays by ear, so he doesn't know notes.
So he doesn't know.
It's crazy. I do think that since he has been taking lessons to learn that.
Yeah.
No, he really has a gift.
That's amazing. A lot of yeah. people, that's, you know, like born
you should hear
that.
Him play Phantom of the Opera.
Really?
Crazy.
Oh, so he's just,
crazy.
He's crazy. Yeah. See, my daughter, we started with her when she was 4 to do piano, and she wanted to do it, and she could read notes before she could read words.
Wow.
You know, so it was one of those things that that she picked up. But she, you know, I've always wanted. See, I don't have the patience to do that. I want to walk up to the piano and be like Billy Joel and just start playing. Sing us a song. Yeah. You know, that would be my thing. But I don't have the patience to do it. I just, you know.
You know what I took for lessons when I was a kid? I took guitar lessons.
Guitar. Can you play it?
No. Gosh, no. And you know what? I didn't like it because it hurts your fingers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To press those stupid things, yeah. the chords.
I did the recorder in school.
You did the
recorder? Cross buns. Hot cross buns, you know? Do, 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 do. I was a master at that. I went on tour with Aerosmith on the recorder.
Oh,
no.
My. My granddaughter plays the piano. She does pretty well, too.
Oh, that's good. Musical family.
All right.
Well, hey, what a great day. Thank you
fun.
For having me again.
Yes, and tell Chef April thank you.
Yes.
And you bring back the cupcakes for your
week.
Family. Kale and Company is up next, and I will see you next Wednesday.
Absolutely.
Sounds good. All right. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks.